Be seated. I notice we got a little note here from Mayo Johnson, called from Humboldt, Tennessee, and requested prayer. He thinks he is going to die any time. Let's have prayer for him, if you will. Wonderful Father of Heaven, we're grateful to have the opportunity to come here tonight to pray together and to fellowship together. And I ask Thee for the forgiveness of my sins, Father, as always. And I ask You for the forgiveness of the sins of my people. And I ask You, O God, by the righteousness of Your lovely Son, Jesus, to look down from out of heaven. Father, touch this man or this person. I pray that You would touch him with Your power. Lord, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And Father, as we seek to be spiritually minded through our life, to believe in the great supernatural, Father, to do away with all of our thoughts that would be contrary to anything supernatural, all of our natural carnal reasoning, to put it behind us. Father, help us to do that all the days of our life. And even as we pray for this man, help us to believe for the supernatural of the Almighty God, that You might touch him and heal, Lord, whoever the person might be, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And I felt the Lord answer that prayer. I don't know, Mayo Johnson, it might be a woman. I took it to be a man. Don't forget, Sister Nancy said if you've ordered Bibles, she'd like for them to be picked up. I guess that means tonight. Let's remember Avis and Alan Elliott. There's a special request for him tonight. Let's remember him in our prayers. Well, we're back again to worship the Lord tonight, to try to do something for God. And as always, this is a wonderful treat to me. I always considered it a wonderful opportunity to come to the Tabernacle of Little Bethlehem. I think it's a wonderful thing just to have the opportunity to come here. If you never to do nothing, but just come and listen that somebody talk about the Bible, and some of the brethren just get together in fellowship. That alone would be wonderful. Just to be able to live in the world, and living in the world, have health, have happiness, and to be able to talk about Jesus. If you never did know the deep mysteries of God, if you never did have the wealth of the world, just to be able to eat, drink, feel good, and do something worthwhile for Christ, that would be wonderful. You know, I really have to watch myself when I come up here, because I feel such hard spirits. I got some people here that's got some of the hardest, meanest spirits. And when I get up here, I feel them things, and if I'm not careful, I'll take the whip and start turning over tables to start with. And then my little ones get all shook up, and I ain't able to do what Jesus said when He said, feed my lambs. Some of you fellows are as hard as you can be. It's like a person that come, and I mean you just as religious as Cain. Like a fellow come into my presence a few days ago. He walked into my presence and started to humbling himself, and I knew time he walked in, it was the devil, because he was wanting something. The devil humbles himself when he wants something. And he walked in, and before he had a chance to say anything about what he wanted, I done picked it up. I told him, I said, I ain't never talked to you like this. I said, I've always just talked to you just as gentle as I could for a number of years. I said, but I'm going to tell you, you're just wicked. I said, that's what's wrong. I said, you are a wicked person. I said, you don't care for the brotherhood, and you don't care for the preacher, and you don't care for your wife, and you don't care for your mother. I said, you don't care for nobody but yourself. And I said, you're a wicked. And I said, you're at the crossroads, and you better do something, or God's going to kill you. I said, He's fixing to really put you in a place for years, or He's going to kill you. And I told another man come for me to pray for him the other night. As a matter of fact, something happened today that was a repercussion of that man's doings. That man came to me and stood in my presence. and wanted me to pray for him. And sometimes I feel like that prophet did in the Old Testament when they come for him to pray for him. And he said, if it wasn't for this other man that has the love of God, said, I wouldn't even consider you, let alone pray for you. It said, because this other man here is trying to do what God wants, that I'm going to consider you. But that prophet wouldn't even have talked to him had it not been for the other prophet or the other man. A man came to me the other day and he wanted me to pray for him, and he came, stood there, started confessing, telling me how sorry he was, and the tears came in his eyes. And I laid my hands over on him and prayed for him and warned him over and over and over and told him that God was going to kill him. How do you believe God will kill you? Let me see your hand. Sure. Now, do you really believe God would kill you? Well, you must be in bad shape to think God would kill you. And why would he want to kill you? Now, I said that to say this. Some of you that raised your hand, you are in bad shape. You need to watch out because God might kill you. But some of you that raised it, I know that you was telling me that you believe what I believe about it, in the sense that you can't play with God. But folks, God will kill you. Some folks say, well, God wouldn't kill you. God is love. The Bible says God kills and God makes alive. And he said concerning the wicked woman and her children, said, I'll kill her and I'll kill her children with death. See, I know that God lets the devil do the killing. I know that. But the Bible teaches that he'll come back on a white horse with a sword. And the Bible said he will slay till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. But anyway, this man come up before me and I prayed for him, I laid my hands on him, and when I went to pray, I saw a nest. And I looked, and that nest had two eggs and a piece of shell in it. I think I mentioned this one night. And it was like a weasel. I was brought up in the country, and a lot of times we'd go out to the nest, and a weasel would have gotten the eggs, or some big snake climbed up in a nest and got the eggs, and maybe just a half a shell or something left. And I looked, it was a half a shell. It looked like a half a shell, and the eggs was gone except two. And then in a few seconds I looked, and even the piece of shell was gone and the two eggs, and the nest was empty. And I prayed for that man, but I never did get in touch with God for him. I never did. He lives on the campground. But I never did get in touch with God for him. I gave him a warning here a while back, and I told him not to carry on his foolishness anymore, and he went right on and done it again. And when I prayed, I never did get in touch with God. And I feel like the Lord was showing me that everything's gone. It's gone. It ain't there no more. You know, once the eggs is gone, there's nothing to hatch off. There's no resurrection. There's no life. There's nothing to hatch off. And I believe God showed me there wasn't there nothing there no more. And it's that way in some of your lives. There ain't nothing in your lives no more. Did you know that? You done gone too far. And you done messed around too long, and there ain't nothing in your life to hatch off no more. That's why I get the repercussion a lot of times I do in church. And I really have to hold myself, you know, to really keep from blasting out. Because the minister sat there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And the Bible said he bears not the sword in vain, but he's God's minister to execute the wrath of God upon the evil one. And some of you just don't have anything in your nest anymore. You've just played around till it ain't there no more. You're empty. And you're a miserable, you are a miserable person. You're miserable, Jesus said, wretched and blind. Because you just tried to mix darkness with light until there ain't nothing there no more. You don't have a vision for the Lord no more. There ain't nothing to do for the Lord no more because you've done got so worldly and got so far out in the natural till you can't even think spiritual anymore. That's why I prayed like I did a few minutes ago. I prayed a few minutes ago. When I started to pray, I felt such carnality in the audience till I thought, well, dear God, the people in general, why, they ain't going to believe God for nothing. With that kind of spirit, they ain't going to believe God for nothing. There's a sister sitting right here to my right now. And she thinks she's spiritual and she is finding fault with me in her mind. But you see how spiritual you are, sister. I want you to stop and think now. You think that you're spiritual and you're sitting and judging the preacher. And the God that's in my heart lets me know it. and know that you're in that kind of condition. Now you see how spiritual you are. You're not spiritual. That's foolish. That's what it is. It's foolishness. What it is, you've got hard. As a matter of fact, you're the very person I spoke to my wife about not too long ago and told her that you was getting too hard. But you're way overconfident in yourself. And you have gotten hard. And you think you're spiritual. But you're really in bad shape. That really cut you to your heart, didn't it? Because you know who you are. It cut you to your heart. Brother Pike loves you. I didn't do that to cut you to your heart. But you need to know there's a real God in heaven, and He knows your thoughts, and He knows what's going on. I don't call you up here. Like I tell my wife sometimes, I said, I don't want to make merchandise of my people. You know, I could magnify myself and just keep on magnifying myself by calling you up here and telling you the different things, and then people would magnify me in their thoughts. You know, and that would be at the expense of your hurt. And some evangelists do that. That would be at the expense of your hurt. He said, well, Brother Pike, you wouldn't call me up there because I wouldn't come, because it ain't right. No, the same God that shows me the thing shows me that you are so shook up that if I called you, you'd come straight up here. So it isn't that at all. But I just don't want to make merchandise out of you. If the Lord wants this ministry magnified, He can magnify it. He can do what He wants to. Now, I'm not interested in being magnified anyway. I want to help you. That's why I tell you these things the way I tell you. The Lord knows your heart. As a matter of fact, it comes in my mind here. I've had this happen many times. Sometimes I mention it to people who are sitting around. Sometimes I don't. But like yesterday, I believe it was, we were sitting there. And I was talking to David Paul and my wife. And while I was talking, I said, I picked up Brother Taylor's spirit. And I thought, now Brother Taylor's trying to get to me. He's out there somewhere. Because I pick up his spirit. And I turned to David Paul and I said, Brother Taylor must be somewhere around out there. I said, I just picked up his spirit. Brother Taylor at that time was passing my house, going down to the multipurpose building to look for me, and couldn't find me. And within about 5 to 10 minutes, walked into the room. And David Paul told him what I just said. See, so it's not a game. It's not something that you play. It's a genuine reality. I've had that to happen many times. See, I say this from up here because I don't want to be hard. I don't want to come up here and I don't want to be hard. Paul even stayed away from a place. He said, I stay away so that I can keep from coming over there and really bringing the judgments of God on you folks. He said, because I know you ain't doing right. And said, I didn't come. Said, I started to come and I wouldn't come because I knowed what I was going to have to do. And to spare you. He said, just so I could spare you. He said, I didn't come. But folks, you really need to do something. When I started talking about the children a while ago, some of you didn't like it at all. And you know why some of you don't like it? Is because you're letting your children become renegades. And you ain't correcting them, and you ain't making no effort to correct them, and you ain't gonna make no effort to correct them. And you spoil them until they are in a horrible condition. And you mothers don't know where they're at in the daytime. You don't have no idea where they're at. You don't know where they are, where they've been. And some of them is smoking here on the campground and just a smoking and a huffing and a puffing and been doing it for years. And you won't do nothing about it. And you ain't done nothing about it. And you've just let it go because you didn't want to whip your darling little boy or your daughter. But you're going to go to hell for that. And that darling little boy is going to go to hell for that too. The blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Just like my boys, I don't see them up there right now. They're supposed to be in church. They're working. I think they made almost $200 a piece today. So they feel like they're big boys now, you know. But as sure as God is in heaven, when I get home tonight, if they don't show up pretty quick, we're going to have another confrontation right down there in my house. And it's going to be with the belt. It's going to be with a belt. You might not believe in that, but I believe in it, and that's the way it goes. Yours might be too darling to you, and you might feel like they're such precious things that they wouldn't do wrong, and you might not whip them. But someday God will whip them. Someday He'll whip them. And I'll tell you what, That time you'd have given 10,000 worlds if you could have, if you'd have whipped them yourself. Come to my Joanne now. I love you folks, and I want to help you. And I want to do everything I can for you. But we're going to have to do something about the situation. Brother Taylor wrote some letters today. Those letters is coming to some of your trailers. And it's going to ask you to move. It's going to ask you to move off your lot. I told you it wasn't going to be like it was in the past. I told you and told you. I said it ain't going to be that way. And it's going to ask you to move off of your lot. You're either going to make a change and stop bringing dope on this campground and cigarettes and all these other things, or God's going to do something about it. And it's like the new boy that come here. That woman come on this campground with a haughty spirit. Him and her both come down here to get a handout. The Lord showed me that that's what they come for. When she didn't get the handout, she got puffed up and she left. And she went off and she got killed by a train, knocked off of a trestle and dropped 50 feet to the ground. She showed herself, she went off, and God killed her. And he's done that many times, the people that lived here or come here. They've lived on the campground, he's done that. And the boy, I saw him with cigarettes in his pocket. And I told Brother Gerald, I said, we ain't going to have it. So Gerald went and said something to him, so he snorted and cursed. I wasn't there. But when I come back around, I let him know in a good, sweet, godly, loving way that his foolishness wasn't going to be tolerated here. So he got kind of huffy-puffy, and then he backed off of it. He went back over somewhere, and when the spirit broke off, when I rebuked the devil off of him, he broke down, he started bawling. Or he went out of my presence and started bawling, told the kids he's going to commit suicide. And Jerry come over all tore to pieces, said, hurry, get over there quick. I thought, I ain't going nowhere. I told the brethren, I said, the devil just broke off of him. And I said, he's laying over acting up. I said, that's what it is. Something said, don't mess with him. Leave him right there. Said, he'll be back over here in a little bit or whatever. So after a while, he got over that and he come on back over. As a matter of fact, I said, go tell Brother Gary if he'll go over. I asked Gary something. Go over and talk with him. So the next day, I believe it was, he was walking down the road smoking. Betty, you remember when I showed him to you out the Monday? I prayed a prayer. I said, there he goes, Betty, look yonder. And I said, God, get the man out from here. I said, he ain't going to do right right now. You might have planted a seed for him because there seemed to be something good about him. I said, but he ain't going to do right. He's going to cause us problems moving. That night, I believe it was, he asked me about leaving. Come down to get the money to leave on. That's the way it is with some of the others. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen real good now. The Lord rebuked me last night. He reproved me. I try to be merciful. And nobody can be as merciful as God. Nobody. And don't get the idea that I'm more merciful than God. When I say this, God rebuked Samuel one time. The Bible said God never did let Samuel's words fall to the ground. And God rebuked Samuel. Samuel tolerated a man's doings too long because they were friends. And God got upset and said, Samuel, don't pray for that man no more. So I ain't going to listen to your prayers. He told him in essence, I'm going to get rid of him. And he did. Now, it wasn't that Samuel was more tolerant than God. That wasn't what it was. But sometimes friendship can cause problems. Even a gift perverts judgment. This man that had done his evil just had walked up and handed me a gift. He had took his money and bought me a gift. And as I turned and took the gift, I hadn't even noticed it. The devil fixed it to where I didn't even see it. Till he done give me a gift. And after he gave me a gift, I turned and there was the cigarettes in his pocket. And I heard a voice say, a gift perverts judgment. What are you going to do? I said, gift or no gift, it's going to be just exactly like the Bible teaches. Last night in a vision, I saw some rats. I saw some big wharf rats. And one of them was a white rat. A big white rat. Which means that we got a religious rat somewhere on the campground. Because that's what it indicated. It was a big white rat. And I was fixing to get rid of the rats. I was fixing to kill them. And as I got ready to kill them, I looked, and the man of the house, he had fixed a little old hole for the rat. He didn't want the rat there. He didn't want the rat there. But he had fixed this little old hole where he could run in and out. But he didn't want the rat there. And I started to kill the rat, and then I thought, now that man just got him like a pet. And I don't want to cross the man up. I don't want to hurt the man. So I thought, I don't hardly know what to do. And I looked, and other rats was following him that wasn't white. And then there was I looked, and it was like someone that was under a cover. Like they'd lay down on the bed and pull the cover up over them. It's trying to rest. And that rat just kept going in and out by their head. And after a while, the rat went up under the cover. And when that rat went up under the cover, I thought, now that fella's going to kill that rat. You know, a lot of folks do things undercover, but they'll still do the job. I thought, now he's going to kill that rat, sure as a world. And sure enough, all of a sudden, I could tell that a hand had got that rat under there, and he run him through with a knife or something because he brought the blood. He killed him. When he did, I looked, and I don't know who the man was. He appeared to be somebody that I knew. And I don't know who it was that killed him. But I do know the next thing I knew, Brother Taylor had the rat by the tail, and he was carrying him out. Whether Brother Taylor killed him or not, I don't know. But he had him by the tail, and he was just singing. And instead of a man there, then it was a woman. It was a woman. Probably a person in their 50s or 60s. And Brother Taylor, just a singing, didn't pay no attention to nobody. He just went right on out with the rat. And then there was some things left for me that I had to take out where I got some of the blood on my jeans, I remembered, trying to take this stuff out. I had to go past the same woman. But see, the Lord meant for that rat to be killed. Because in the vision, it was the right thing to kill that rat. And folks, we got some rats on the campground that God's going to kill. He let me know that no matter how Brother Pike felt about mercy or whatever, he was tired of the rats and he was going to kill some of them. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, God ain't like that. Yes, he's like that. He showed that vision. He prepared my heart. He said, Samuel, you take this sword. You're a sweet, loving man. You take this sword, and I want the job done. And Samuel hewed him into pieces, the great loving prophet. Hewed him into pieces. Probably never heard a man his life. Cut him all to pieces, just hewed him into pieces. And then God had rest. God will hew you into pieces. God said, beware lest I tear you into pieces. Samuel hew him into pieces. Samuel walked up boldly with a sword, and Samuel said, you have made mothers childless, and you're going to be childless. And he began to cut. Or your mother's going to be childless. And he began to cut. So he'll kill you. It don't make no difference who you are. He'll kill you. Just like Richard. He's new. He's a fine boy, but God would kill him in a minute if he didn't do right. He'd kill me. He'd kill Vince. He'd kill Brother Cobbs. He'd kill any of you. If we harden our heart, we stiffen our neck, we rebel against the preacher, he'll kill you. There have been numbers of people that's been killed. He'll kill you. And folks, this is a bad day for it. And even the Christmas season is a bad time. But it's a bad day for it. God loves you. He wants to help you. He'll take you and raise you up. He's raised Brother Gary up. He's blessed Brother Gary, but he killed Gary in a minute if Gary rebelled against him. And yet he's blessing Gary. He killed Brother Jerry Lambert in a minute. He's raised Jerry up, but he'd kill him in a minute. See, God is no respecter person. It don't make no difference who it is. He'll kill you. He killed Don Kleinex in a minute. Wouldn't take him but a minute to kill him if Don misbehaved. He said, why are you calling names? Because I want to say this to some of the brethren. Maybe not to all of them. He killed Michael in a minute. He killed Michael in a minute. Every time I feel a spirit anywhere, you'll hear me say something when we go along. Sometimes it's calling people out. And just to make them stop and think. He'll kill you. He'll kill you, folks. It don't take him long. He'll kill you.
You'd think that over. We're here to help you. And the Bible said rebuke openly that others might see and fear. God wants them to see so they'll fear. Somebody said, you will not do that, Brother Pike. God said, I want you to see and fear. God will kill you. You men that are in here, there's a number of you. It's hard-hearted and selfish. And you always thinking the wrong thing. God's going to kill some of you if you don't watch out. Watch what I'm telling you. Brother Pike's telling you tonight. That's why I'm calling some names tonight. You think it over now. God's going to kill some of you. You better watch out. Because God ain't pleased with it at all. You think it over.
We're here tonight to try to help you. To serve God. To work together. I got a man sitting right along here. He isn't rebelling against me. He's afraid to. But he's a carnal-minded man. Got the world on his mind. And he'd come against me like he'd hit me like a bull. But he's afraid to. Talks when he's away from me. Says things he ought not to. When he's out of my presence, he waxes bold. He gets scared when he gets in my presence. But I tell you, God will kill you. You keep on messing around and God will kill you. God said, I kill till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. I kill. He said, but I also make alive. God killed Jesus. Did you know God killed Jesus? He killed him. The Bible said we esteem him smitten of God. He killed him. If God would kill his own son for the sake of a soul, he'll kill you and he'll kill me. You can be sure of that. He'll kill your children. If he'd kill his son, he'd kill your son. He didn't let Abraham kill his son. He spared Abraham the grief. But he killed his son. That makes me fear him. That makes me realize that he's a loving God, but he means business. And I believe that's why he did that, because that body that he killed was his own body. He come down as God Almighty and made himself a body and killed himself as a human being to keep from having to kill me. And though he was righteous, and though I'd done wrong, he spared me and killed his own body. Killed it with a death. And folks, he'll do you the same way. I'm real serious tonight. I tried to be merciful, real merciful. I knew I needed to kill them rats, and I was going to kill them rats. But I tried to be merciful, not to the rats. I knew the rats need to be killed. Like the woman that made the statement, she'd leave from here. She got upset because Betty reproved her over her doing some things that she didn't have no business doing and foolish things. And she said she'd just burn her trailer down and leave from here. Whereas as far as I know, she has got her temper up in the past and set somebody's curtains on fire to show her temper. I guess would have burned the house down. To me, that's foolishness. Talking about burning a trailer down. She upset my wife so bad till Betty said the sooner the better. That's foolishness. Anybody even talk, think like that, let alone talk like that. You couldn't even know God, let alone have God, and talk like that. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's why I'm rebuking openly tonight. And a number of you, I haven't said anything to at all. Brethren, there is something happening. And even now, even this talk, I still feel like that there's numbers of you that need rebuking to your face as I stand here tonight. And I'm in the right spirit. And I believe the numbers of you need rebuking to your face. And I feel like God would do it in a minute. In a minute he'd do it. But to try to spare you, I try my best to spare you. But there's times when your mind so troubled me. I got a man over to my right here. Over to my right. He's held himself tonight. He's scared. He held himself tonight. But the Lord will kill you. He'd kill Brother Jimmy. He'd kill Brother Gilbert. He wouldn't spare them no more than he'd spare anybody else. He'd kill Johnny. He wouldn't spare them. Any of you. He'd kill Philip.
He wouldn't spare him. Brother Richard Donalds, he'd kill him. He wouldn't spare him. He wouldn't spare none of them. God won't spare you. He'd kill Brother Larry Allen. He wouldn't spare him either. Brother Billy, he'd kill Billy too. He wouldn't spare Billy either. So you can come with your temper and you can come with your wrong. But God will get you. He'll get you, folks.
And he'll get you to your face. He said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. He said, but someday I'll come face to face with you. And I'll get you. And you'll know then. You'll know then. I got a man over to my right. He shrunk up. He won't even let his spirit come out. Usually he's just as hard as he can be in his spirit when he comes around me. Resentful, fault-finding, but he's scared to even come out tonight because he's afraid I'll call his name. But he'll get you. God will kill you. He killed Brother Richard Gills. He'd get him in a minute. He wouldn't spare him more than he'd spare anybody else. Get him. You need to stop and think, folks. God's on your trail tonight. He's on your trail. He's out to get you. And you're going to have to stop your foolishness. Many of you brethren, I've talked with you. I've come right to you and I've talked with you. And I've told you, I said, brethren, you're in trouble. I got a brother sitting right here in front of me. He come to me. And he come to me in the wrong spirit. And he said, I want to know if you're talking about me. I said, yes, sir, you're the man. And it knocked him for a loop. It tore him up so bad until his spirit broke and he melted. And he said, Brother Pike, said, I appreciate that. And he took the right attitude and he broke that spirit off of him, for which I'm grateful. It was hard, sharp rebuke. I had a woman to come in. She walked into my room and I was sitting there minding my own business, talking to the Lord. And she said, I want to know if you was talking about me. I said, yes, ma'am, you're the lady. You're the one. Told my wife, she said, I won't ever go to ask him no more. See, so it's better you don't ask me. I don't want to tell you. I'd rather not tell you because I love you. And as Paul said, I didn't come so I could spare you. Like John said, he said, when I come to this place this time, said, I ain't going to spare them that's been prattin'. He said, I ain't going to spare them. More judgment is striking and more judgment. And I don't know whether there's anything to it or not, but I know that the prophecy of a great man, supposedly, a man 100 years ago that predicted and prophesied, said that different things was coming to pass. They say so far everything the man said has come to pass. And now they say that the man has predicted the Third World War, which they say is supposed to come to pass within 3 weeks to 6 weeks. So according to his prediction, as the other thing said, it's about 3 weeks to 6 weeks, and it's supposed to happen. And if it happens, it'll be the end of the world. The Third World War will bring the end of the world. The Bible said the elements being on fire shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and everything therein shall be burned up. And that's what the bombs are made out of, is the elements. We've never had that before in any war. But this time, if war comes, it'll happen. You think this over tonight, the Lord is trying to get you in shape. The Lord loves you, but you remember what I tell you. Don't ever put confidence in anybody. Don't ever put confidence in your wife and your children and your daddy and your mother and your brother and your sister and your husband and your pastor or in anybody, in the president or anybody else, because they'll betray you. And when you least expect it, they'll do it. If you see God in a person's life, I say again, put just as much confidence as you see of God. Just over the week, the last 2 days, remember, God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. Deal with every man the same way, every woman the same way. Don't treat him no different. Like Jesus said, what I send to one, I send to all. Because all of them are alike. I don't care how pious they act, how religious they act, they're all just alike. God has prepared all men's hearts alike. And all men will seek their own advantage. except for Christ. Just a day or two ago, I gave a man a benefit of the doubt in that the man told me that God had pricked his heart and that he had come to realize he'd done wrong and he wanted to do right, and he come to me to do the right, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and he nailed me down that quick as I did. I gave him one doubt and he took full advantage. Supposed to be a great man of reputation, a great religious man. It immediately cost me $2,000 because I gave him the benefit of the doubt. $2,000 that quick. Supposed to be top of the line. I knew better, but I trusted Christ in his life. I knew Christ was limited in his life, and I just stretched a little bit beyond the measure to the extent of that the man had told me of his repentance. But that's the way it is, folks. See, I'm a minister, but you can't trust me no more than you can trust anybody else. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Pike, no, you're wrong. If you think you can trust me more than you can trust anybody else, you're mistaken. If my wife thinks she can trust me more than some other woman can trust her husband, she's mistaken. As a matter of fact, if I trusted her more and she trusted me more, we'd both be foolish. But she's flesh and I'm flesh too. And Jesus said the flesh is weak." So see, I dare say she probably don't trust me anymore than I trust her. Probably all she trusts is Christ in my life. If she trusts anymore, she's a foolish woman. And if I trust any more than Christ in her life, I'm a foolish man. I've seen wrongs in wives. I've seen wrongs in mothers. I've seen wrongs in daughters. I've seen wrongs in sons. I've seen wrongs in husbands. I've seen wrongs in presidents. I've seen wrongs in judges. I've seen wrongs in lawyers. I've seen wrongs in rich. I've seen wrongs in poor. Preachers, I've seen wrongs in preachers. So then you follow me as I follow Christ. If you see Christ, you follow. If you don't see Christ, you better leave it alone. But as you see Christ, you follow me. Some of you brethren have run into some bad situations. And the reason is because you've been foolish. You've been doing foolish things. Some of you ladies have done the very same thing. You need to stop and consider, folks. Brother Pike, don't want to be hard. I don't want to be hard. But I believe in being up front, straight up front, and just being what you are and let everybody see it. Don't try to camouflage nothing. Don't try to say nothing. As to secret, Jesus said, "In secret have I said nothing." But to follow in the steps of the Master, Jesus was, as we say, up front. He was just what he was, that's all. What he said to everyone. He didn't say it out of bitterness. He didn't say it out of haughtiness. He didn't say it out of foolishness. He just said it, that's the way it is. So tonight, remember that. We're dealing with God. We're not dealing with man. We're dealing with God. You deal with man, man don't deal like that. But you're dealing with Almighty God. And so you need to remember that. Even when the minister's speaking, the Bible said it shall not be him speaking, but God speaking. And when you hear things like this, it's time to get straight. It's time to get straight. It means deathbeds are around the corner. It's time to get straight. I know that ain't going to sink into some of you, but you may be the one on the deathbed because it's time to get straight. Things is happening. As a matter of fact, I heard that someone had a wreck today out of our congregation right here. Been one thing right after another. Just since I made the statement the other day that judgment was beginning to strike again, that's two wrecks. Just since that's been brought to my mind. Might be more than that. I know of two. This is the Christmas season. It's real dangerous. Some of you need to whip your children. You need to correct them. The Bible said, correct thy child or son, daughter, and they'll give you rest. If you'll correct them, you'll have a little peace and rest. You might feel you can't have any peace and rest, but if you correct them, you'll get some peace and rest. They used to say, bend the twig the way you want the tree to grow. Because when it gets old, you can't bend it then. It'll break before it'll bend. So you need to bend it while it's little. Need to bend it. Some of you need to bend your spirits. You need to bend your spirits. You come around me and you act like that you are my best friend and Brother Pike, we're uptight. And I stand there and I think, you hypocrite, because I look at your mind and I look at your thoughts and I look at the way you do and I watch what you really think of me and I think, you hypocrite. and you want me to use you, and you want me to work with you, and you think that I don't know. And a lot of times, I've actually got up and walked out. Brother Taylor, is this true? Even Brother Taylor knows this. Have you heard me come back later and say, Brother Taylor, I walked out a few minutes ago, and it was because of the spirit that was here present on somebody. I either had to rebuke it or leave because it was so vexing. And as of late, I have walked off from some of you to keep from reproving you and rebuking you. And I've said within my heart, I said, God, what need is it? I rebuked this man over and over, and I reproved him over and over. Why not let him go on? Let him go on like Balaam, and then after a while, he'll be sorry. When something keeps tugging at me, you know, be merciful. Be merciful. The merciful shall obtain mercy. Yet he tells me, so rebuke openly that others might see and fear. Open rebuke's better than secret love. And he reproves me like he did in the vision last night. He didn't reprove me for being too merciful, because God's merciful. But he reproved me in being too merciful in this way, that I was allowing mercy where there shouldn't be mercy, where there should be judgment. And that judgment in some cases is mercy. Yeah, I've said this a lot of times. If you've got a person laying here, and that person is a TB patient or something that's contagious, and you've got a little child over here in this room, mercy is to get that TB patient out of there or do something. You bring it down to an animal, you may have to take the life of an animal to save the whole flock. Might be judgment on that one to save the whole flock. That's mercy. And God demonstrated that when he took Jesus. He killed Jesus so that through the killing of Jesus, he might kill the evil contaminated one, which was Lucifer, to keep him from contaminating the flock of God. Whereas you might say, well, he's contaminated them anyway. No, the Bible says that those that belong to God are without spot. They're without blemish. They're without wrinkle. There's not one spot on those that belong to Jesus. Jesus said, I've not lost to one of them, Father. He said, the son of perdition, he's gone. I've had the last little bit. Some of them has come and told me about how different people have repented and how they're changing their lives. And I thought, that hypocrite. I preached to them for days and months and years and begged them not to reproach little Bethlehem and not to reproach their families, not to reproach their wives and not to reproach their husbands. And now that they've gone slap down to the gutter and nobody won't have them and they can't hardly get a biscuit and can't do nothing else, not coming back because they're repenting, because they're sorry, but like Esau, coming back because they think they've lost their birthright, come back, want to repent, after going out there like a mad dog and doing the evil, wretched things they did in open rebellion, knowing what's right. And then they come back and they think God's going to forgive them for it. So they get right in the harness and they say, well, everything's going to be all right. Samuel said, that's the way you thought it was going to be. Come and got back in and said, all the wrath has passed over and everything's going to be all right, the Bible said. And about that time, God said, you take the sword and hew them to pieces, Samuel. Folks, you hadn't got away with it. That's why the sword is flying tonight like it is. You haven't slipped back in and got away with it. You haven't got away with it. The sword is sharp and it's waiting for you. You're not going to slip back in and then slit the necks of more sheep after you've done your dirty work and killed and done your evil. As Brother Branham said, load your double barrel and go after that wolf. We've got the double barrel loaded and it's waiting for you. God is merciful, God is sweet, and God is good to them that make an effort, and them that try, and them that are sorry, and them that didn't mean to do it. But God is wrathful, and God is contrary to them that walk contrary to him. He said, you be contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. And them that do those things, God said, I'll get you. He's whetting his sword. I'm persuaded to believe that he sat outside, and if there was any plaiting to be done, that he plaited the whip before he ever went in. I believe he made it. I believe he had it ready before he ever walked in. He knew what he was doing before he went in there. He didn't get temperamental, even though he did get angry because of the hardness of their heart. So you need to think these things over, folks. Like I said, Brother Taylor's writing some letters. I told him to write some letters. Don't get upset with Brother Taylor because I told him to write them. And those letters might have to do with killing the rats, especially the white one. But they're going to ask you, the letter's going to ask you to move off the campground and ask you to leave. If you're going to let people come into your trailers, and I say this to our widows too, because the widows are doing this. Some of the widows is a trouble spot. They are a trouble spot. Ever since they've been there, it's been nothing but a trouble spot. I've been real merciful, especially for your children, because I know you've got problems. And I love you as a sister, and I love your children, even though they're mean, some of them, just like mine. But I still love them. I want to help them. I want to see them saved. The Bible said, it's not my will that any should perish, all should come to repentance, have everlasting life. And when it speaks of that, it speaks of the wicked. I don't want the wicked to perish. I'd rather they'd repent. But if they won't repent, then he said, I'll slay the wicked. I'll slay the wicked. So, I've tried to be merciful. You have relatives coming. I have relatives coming. And sometimes your relatives don't come dressed right, and sometimes mine don't come dressed right. And I don't think it's God's way for you to pounce on them when they come in. If somebody comes on the campground with a pair of pants, I don't think you should act like some heathen. I have some people out here, if somebody walks on this campground with a pair of pants that is a woman, they act like a heathen. And I think, you hypocrite, you're worse than that person. You're far worse than you caused all the problems. You've caused problems, and now that woman's coming out here, don't know nothing, and you're going to cause more problems by pouncing on them. Or somebody goes to smoke a cigarette, they don't know nothing about the rules, and you pounce on them. And usually it's the hypocrites that does it. Usually people that love God and love souls don't do that. They use wisdom, and they approach him with wisdom. Whereas I've got some that ain't got no backbone. I've got some men and women that ain't got no backbone at all. They just can't make themselves say anything. You can huff and puff on cigarettes and pipes and cigars and come in their house drinking and dope and to come for one time and two times and 10 times, and they won't say nothing. But I got some that's wise and merciful, and they'll let you come for a day or two, and they'll try to talk to you and reason. When they see that you're going to push over them, they're just bold enough, they'll step right out and they'll whet their sword and they'll run it right through you. That's the way it should be. You ought to just stand there and whet your sword good until you can run it right straight through them and not think nothing about it. Do just like Samuel. And the Bible not only says you should do that, but he said, cursed is the man that won't do it. He said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. He's cursed of God. So when the enemy comes, if you don't warn the people, he said, I'll require the blood at your hand. You take that blood. If it's your son, run it through him. If it's your daughter, run that sword through him. In the Old Testament, they had to kill their sons. They had to kill their daughters. Sometimes mothers and daddies had to throw the first stones. Abraham laid his son down, and the knife came flashing down to kill him. He said, God first and son second. God said, I'll be merciful. But if it's your son or daughter, run that sword right through him. I've had to tell my children. I remember telling some of them one time, I've done this a few times in raising my family, when they got out of sauce and they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't reverence prayer and they wouldn't reverence God and they wouldn't reverence, they didn't want God. I told them, I've looked right straight at them. I said, from this day forward, if that's your decision, you're no longer my son. You're no longer my daughter. I said, you don't belong to me no more. I'm never dad anymore. I'm never your father anymore. That's the end of it. I meant every word of it. I said, if you can't honor my God and serve my God, then you're not my flesh. You're not my son. You're not my daughter. And I tell you what, and it knocks them for a loop. You better believe that they straighten up and straighten up fast, because they know that I'm not playing. But that's the way I feel. I feel that way. God first. God first. And folks, if you haven't got it like that, you haven't got it at all. Because that's the only way you can have it. So I tell you these things tonight because I love you. I love you. I appreciate something that a brother told me. It just comes to my mind. A brother told me just tonight. He was up there in that department. He said, you know, said my daughter came. And I said she was changing about long dress pants or whatever. and said, my wife went straight to her and said, I'll tell you one thing, you're either going to get in or out. And said, I mean it. And that's the way it should be, folks. That's the way it should be. Well, I don't know how we got into all of this, but I guess God intends to see the reproof through. Because if he reproved me last night, I guess he intends for me to reprove you. Whether a mistake or whether I should or shouldn't, the preparation of man's heart from God, so he prepared my heart to do it. He intended for it to be like that. And I hope my little folks will forgive me, because I didn't intend to do that. I was still going to try to be merciful. But God wants that white rat killed. He wants somebody to quit making a pet out of it. And he wants them other rats that was following him that wasn't white, he wants them killed too. So when these letters come to you, folks, these letters are going to request that you move. It's going to leave one thing, and that is, if you're willing to stop that foolishness once and for all, and this is no exceptions to Brother Pike or to you or to anybody else, I tell you again, God will kill me just as quick as he'll kill you. He'd kill me before I walk out that door and he wouldn't think nothing about it. Kill me just like that. You might not think he would do it, but he'd do it. He'd kill Brother Branham just like that. So, well, I think the devil killed him. I know the devil killed him. I realize that. It'd be the devil that'd kill me. I realize that if he killed me. But like Brother Branham said, if God ever turns the devil loose on me, that's where the killing comes in from God. He has to turn the devil loose, just like he gave the devil leave to hurt Job. You know, if somebody wants to jump on Vince, and I got him over here where he can't, and I give him leave to go over and hurt Vince, who done it? If they've got a wild man up here in prison, and the sheriff's got him locked up, and knows that he's going to kill somebody if he gets out, if he goes and lets him out, who done it? You understand what I'm saying? I wound, I bind up, I kill, I make alive. I create the good, I create the evil, I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of men. He said, can evil come to a city and I have not sent it, saith the Lord? You mean evil can happen? Somebody can get killed. Somebody can be hurt. Kids can get rent. Somebody can get run over. A maniac can kill a half a dozen people and God didn't send it? Sure, God sent it. Can evil come to a city without me sending it? He put Nebuchadnezzar out with the beast. Let his fingers, his nails grow out like claws, his hair like feathers. Did the devil do that? Nebuchadnezzar gave place to the devil, that's true. But God did it because God forewarned him, sent the prophet of God, Daniel, and told him. And the man wouldn't listen. And it came to pass. God smote him. So you need to think this over. I come here tonight, I felt that same carnal atmosphere. And I said, now, Lord, I promised you that if you'd help me, I was going to try my best to hold myself when I feel that kind of atmosphere. I'd rather dismiss and go back home. And I'd rather just hold myself, not say anything. So I decided that, I said, now, if I go to preaching, I know what I'll do. So I'm just going to take my time, I'm going to talk, and I'm going to tell them just exactly how it is. Just rebuke openly. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. And he said concerning the ministers that I'll make your face as hard as an adamant stone. So don't fear their faces. No matter what kind of hard look they try to have over their spirit, they're going to look hard and they're going to stare you through and have a temperance of eyes. He said don't pay no attention with it or to it. He said I'll make your face as hard as an adamant stone. I'll walk right on over them. So I set in Zion a stone, even a stumbling stone of offense, and whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Whosoever falleth on him shall be broken upon him. Whosoever he falleth shall grind him to powder. So you need to consider these things that I'm saying tonight because deathbeds are coming. They're coming. I done seen them coming. Some of them's already struck. Heartaches and sorrows is coming. I don't see it slowing down. It's coming. And if you want God to keep it off of you, your children, if I want God to keep it off of me and my children, if we want God to keep it off the campground, we better do something. Better do something fast. It's already around the corner. It's already coming. I believe when God killed that woman and come over here with her haughtiness, he was telling little Bethlehem, I watch after you. Nobody's going to come on this campground haughty and whatever. I'll kill you. I'll kill them. I'll kill you. I mean business. I was telling a brother the other day, somebody had a vision where he was smoking a cigar and got hard and just went hard on God. Got to where he just didn't care for God at all. And it seemed to be a money thing that done it. Another brother that got hard, got upset at me, wanted to beat babies' brains out, wanted to bust them out. And because I wouldn't bust them out, he got angry with me and grabbed the babies and busted their brains out, went straight and done it. I'm talking about men sitting in our congregation. You might say, well, I don't believe there's nothing to that. Maybe not. I hope it isn't, but it could be. Some dreams come from the devil. Some dreams come from God, but it could be. You can't ever tell. Sometimes people have some wretched, wild, mean dreams about me. Maybe I'll be praying all night long. I have got up off of my knees, stay all night long, and then they come with the disappointing things that just, could have torn me to pieces, but I still consider them. I still think. I think, well, maybe it doesn't mean exactly what they think it means, but it must have some significance. And if it's a dream of the devil, the Lord will let me know. But there's one thing about it. I'm going to consider it. I ain't going to fly out and say nothing. I'm just going to consider it. I'm going to wait. And I'll just see. And then the Lord reveals it and lets me know just exactly. There's a brother sitting here had a dream about me, and he thought, sure, he had the ace in the hole, as the world said. Because he thought, Brother Pike, you up there preaching, and I done had a dream about you. Aha, we see who's up here, who's down here, and where I got you. But his vision didn't indicate anything that I know of that was wrong. It indicated something that had took place. If he'd been spiritual, had not been looking for fault, he would have known that. But nevertheless, I'm telling you that deathbeds are coming, and sorrow's coming, and heartaches is coming. And I've been saying this now for a number of weeks, over and over. I keep saying it. And to spare you, but it's going to happen. He's going to move some of you off the campground. I told a number of them here a long time ago, I said he's going to move some of them off the campground. Nobody seemed to believe it, and all of a sudden, one right after another, began to go off the campground. Because I was praying, I said, get them off the campground, they're wolves. And I said, they're in sheep clothing. They're nothing but troublemakers. I said, God, they don't have no interest in this message. They don't have no interest in the brethren. They don't have no interest in world evangelism. And they don't have no interest in helping and doing anything for God. They want the benefits of everything that's going on. Everything. And they're trying their best to get it. But I said, I want you to move them. And he did. Just like that. That's when one of them come to me also back there and said, God can't move me. I said, oh yeah, he's going to move you. Few days, he moved him just like that. So he can move you, he can move me, he can move any of us. And I prayed that way. I said, Lord, move me. I've asked you, say, oh, you went, yes, sir. I said, God, if I'm willfully going to transgress and do wrong here, when I stand for the right thing, I said, move me just like you move the rest of them. There's been a number of you said, I think I'll go back to California. You don't think I know about it. But I do. I'll go back to California. Just asking too much of me. But I ain't hardly got you to do nothing. I mean hardly anything. At that time, you wasn't hardly doing nothing. Talk about me asking so much of you. Going back to California. So I'm going back to the Carolinas. I'm going to go back to the Carolinas. I'm going to go back to such and such a place. Well, like Betty said, the quicker the better. Not that I want you to leave. Not that God wants you to leave. If you want to love the Lord, want to do right. But there's a number of you said you're going to leave. It's because I've been praying that you'd leave. I've been praying. I said, God, prepare their heart like you did Pharaoh. Harden their heart. Get them on out from here. If they're going to hinder the work of God, cause little children to starve to death and people to die and go to hell. I said, get them out from here. And some of you have gone through severe sicknesses and diseases and things that's come upon you because you didn't do nothing but give me problems and trouble. As God said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. Before you got like that, you didn't do nothing but give me trouble, and that was a bridle. I noticed it quieting you down. You ain't give me trouble since. Your spirit rises up once in a while, but I notice you grab that as quick as it rises up. So see, you need to think these things over. You need to think them over. I love you and I want to help you. I'll do whatever I can, but I feel like God would have me to say this tonight. Maybe we'll change things here. I just want to be sure that you understand, because when those letters come, you ain't going to understand them. I know you ain't. But they're still merciful. They'll give you a chance. If you mean business with me, give me a chance. And let me say this to the widows. Some of you widows are not staying in your trailers. Now that's all right. I understand you have to stay off and you have to work. And I allowed some of you to let some of the brethren move into your trailers. I told you that a number of years ago. If you're not there, and they can pay the payment on your trailer. But I said you can't commercialize off of none of them. You cannot sell the trailer to them in the sense of having somebody come out here and rent the trailer and sell the trailer to them. You can't do it. I told you, you can't do that. They can work with you. You can work with them. And you cannot, and remember this, folks, with all love, you cannot leave that trailer empty and let your relatives come over and live in it. Now, the next one does that, it's going to have problems. You invite your relatives to come over there without coming through this brotherhood and just let them come in and live over there. And especially when you know that they're not living right, you're not going to have a spot on the campground. And like I told my wife, some of them said, I'm leaving. I'm going to leave. I said, just as sure as somebody sits around and lets the people come out here and take their trailers away by not paying on their trailers and by not paying the taxes, I said, just as sure as they willfully do that, when I know that they got jobs and could work, I said, their spot's going to be gone. I'm going to give it to somebody else. If you're going to sit around and do nothing and fuss and find fault and make no effort until they come and take your trailer, then I'm not planning to let you put another one back on it. I've done it in the past. I've let you do it in the past. But I'm not planning to do that no more. If you come to me and you let me know that you had a problem, or if I see that you had a problem, I'll help you if I have to give you money to help you. It's like I told somebody the other day. I said, you come here and you get this money. I said, this is blood money. I said, I've let you have money and let you have money. And when I gave the man the money, he said, I'm desperate. I got till 2 o'clock today. I got to do something. And I heard something say, this man won't do that. You give him the money and he won't do it. He'll misuse it. I gave him the money. I was merciful. And his wife stood at my door that night. I believe it was crying. I believe it was the same night. Might have been the next night. But immediately, she was there crying. And she said, he didn't take the money where he told you he would. He took it and went to the pool hall. He had done such and such with it. Folks, I did that. I gave him the money when I didn't have the money. You know yourself that I've been up against the wall for $100,000 to $125,000 that I had to have. And I took that to a number of people and gave them money. Hundreds of dollars. I gave it to them to help them. And I said, God, I'll trust you. You'll help me. And that's the truth, so help me God, if I die before I speak another word. And I told the brethren, I said, by faith in God, brethren, I said, I'll meet the demand. I said, I'll meet it. By faith in God, I'll meet it. God will show me how. I told them last night, I believe it was. I said, brethren, you know how much I had to meet. They said, yeah. I said, I told you I'd meet it. Yeah. I said, it's all met. I said, now you tell me where it come from. The Lord did it. He helped me. Wasn't no goodness on my part. I ain't no better than nobody else. Like Daniel said, don't think that I got this wisdom because I'm better than somebody else. And don't you think God meets my needs because I'm better or my wife's better. She's no better than any other woman. I'm no better than any other man. She's no special person. She don't live no special life. And I'm no special person, and I don't live no special life. If you think that, you're mistaken. We're not. We stumble and we stagger and we make mistakes. Though as far as I know, from the bottom of my soul, it is and has been for many years that I've tried to be perfect to the very reflex of my mind and intents of my heart. And I believe my wife is trying to do the same thing. But that don't make us no different. God didn't meet the needs because I'm a good fellow. You're not neglected because you're a bad fellow. It's just that you're not using your faith a lot of times. And I do use mine. I challenge yours. But I do tell you this. Whether it be me or you, faith is not going to work out of a contrary and a perverted heart. Not going to do it. I have a woman that's sitting here, and night after night, she's caused me trouble many times. Many times. And that same woman is a trouble spot on the campground. Not only does the spirit trouble me here of not being humble and meek, but she causes me trouble on the campground all the time. She's got something going, and she blames it on everybody. But that ain't what it is. The devil can't do nothing unless you give place to him, and this woman just continually gives place to him. I got another one. She does the very same thing. She won't pay on her trailer, and she won't pay on her bills, and she won't keep her lights on, and she'll spend money and ride and go continually and won't pay nothing and just whine and go on just all the time about she's going to lose her trailer, she can't do this or whatever. And she's caused me a lot of problems. I prayed one time, and God took the thing off, and she almost didn't get it back on no more. And I got another woman. She's always whining and blaming the brethren, blaming the sisters, just continually blaming the sisters. She won't work. She won't do nothing. She's contrary. She won't work when the ladies work. She wants to be around the men, always bold. I find out she's always around men somewhere talking to them, and some of them allowed it for trailers. They sit and they go on, and these women resort to the trailers where they won't keep the standards. There's some trailers here that they won't keep the standards neither with their children nor with their husband nor with their wife. And these people resort to these trouble spots, and they sit there and they go on and they cause me all this trouble because they just talk man and woman, it's going all day long. And it causes them trouble, causes me trouble. And there's some places where the men and women, they have no morals, no respect. And they let boys and girls all day long. And they know that they ain't doing the right thing. But they let them in there anyway to hug and kiss and fellowship and just lounge around with each other just any old way. But there's going to come a bad day, folks. You let your little son smoke and don't do nothing about it. Let him hide his cigarettes. Now, I know if you lay the lash on him, he still smokes. God won't hold you accountable. Just like I said, I whipped one of mine 3 times in a row. Because I said, don't do it, and he done it. And I said, don't do it, and he done it. And I said, don't do it, I'll whip you, and he done it. And then after that, he began to consider what I said. Because I mean it, folks, from my heart. If I have to whip him 100 times in a row, I intend for him to have respect to what I say. I'm not going to be cruel. I'm not going to beat him. I'm not going to try to beat him in the sense of hurting him or killing him. Some people beat their children out of temper. They don't have no feeling for God nor the child, and they're not correcting the child for their own good. But I've said this before, they just get into a temper. They won't whip them when they need whipping. But when they get in a temper and get upset with the child, then they beat the child. Whereas they need the whipping themselves, because that's not the right time to whip the child. If you love the child, you'll whip the child when the child needs a whipping. But you need to consider this. God keeps tarrying with you. God keeps tarrying with you. Say, I don't think it's God or think it's you, Brother Pike. Well, the Bible said the preparation of my heart is from God. He prepared it to do this. So there must be a God somewhere. There must be something about to happen. It must be that God is telling you that you'd better run. You'd better hide. Like Brother Branham said, that remember the case where the animals ran away from the cliffs of the rocks. They began to back off. And he couldn't figure out why. And said, God spoke to him about this terrible catastrophe that was fixing to strike. And said, these animals, as that instinct, they know I'm warning them to get away from the cliff so they won't fall on them. Earthquakes or whatever. He said, they got away. You know, I read this one time and I heard somebody repeat it the other day. Some people are like an elephant. An elephant knows when he's going to die. He'll start for the graveyard. And I wondered why. One day I picked up a book and read it. And it said that an elephant gets so many sets of teeth. I believe it said about 6. And they eat till they wear them out. And when the last set's gone, they don't get another one. So they start heading for the graveyard because they know they'll die. Starve to death. And that's the way a lot of folks here are. You've acted like an elephant. It looks like you done about eat your last meal and you're headed for the graveyard. So you better trust God to grow some new teeth or something and get a spiritual appetite, because you've just about run out of a spiritual appetite. And like I said about what I saw, all the eggs is about gone out of the nest and you ain't got nothing to hatch off no more. You got a hard spirit. I can even let my eyes run over towards you. In time my eyes hit you, your spirit is repulsive to me. Time my eyes go in that direction. And I don't have to go in that direction. A lot of times you just walk up behind me. And it's the same one. But your spirit is repulsive. It's not one with me. If you're one with Christ, then it's for sure that I'm not one with Christ. And if I'm one with Christ, it's for sure you ain't one with Christ. Because our spirits are not together at all. Not at all. Your spirit is repulsive to me, and it's repulsive to God as far as I know. It's not joined with me at all. It's contrary to me. It's in rebellion to me. It's evil surmising against me. It's jealousy. Even a man and a woman can't be joined together like that. A divided house can't stand. All right. There's death in the pot. The prophet said we better do something about it. Let's stand together and let's sweeten the pot a little bit by singing a little chorus. Whatever good comes my way and whatever good comes your way, it's because of Jesus. What I tell you, I say to one, I say to all. I told my son David the other day, I said, David, the Lord loves you. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. I said, you and my daughters are singing. That just as sure as you go into churches to sing those songs, those wonderful songs of Zion, those sacred songs, and then don't live right, if you're a hypocrite, I said, woe be unto you, because God will burn your fields. I heard of some the other night. They're playing the hypocrite. They went into a church to sing. Come back out, one of them got drunk. One or two of them went off to frolic. And when they did, they run into hot water bad. I mean, God got them. The Bible said, if you're going to bear the vessel of the Lord, be holy. You men that are governors, you men that are chiefs, you men that are leaders, you men and women both that occupy offices, you better stay clean, I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, or you better get out. You better leave it alone. You better stay away from it. It's like I told my wife. I said, Betty, I am weary of the women coming down there sitting around talking and fellowshipping and burning the lights. I said, I'm tired of it. I said, and not getting the job done. I have bragged and bragged on the women to come to find out that some of them just sitting up there doing nothing, fussing, causing me problems. I found one of the heaters turned up to 90 on a day when it was comfortable. Didn't even need that kind of heat. And I said, Betty, where did the gas go? We had to put more gas in the big tank. I said, I just have put gas in the big tank. I go downstairs and I find the men doing nothing but sitting fellowshipping. Turn the heaters wide open. Come in and turn them all on and then leave and stay gone. And burn all the gas out. Nothing but devils and demons doing it. Devils and demons using the people in their mind to go in there and to squander and to waste. The Bible said, I've created the waster that he might destroy. And following the waster, they go in there and they waste. And the Bible said, he that is a wasteful person is brother to a sluggard. A man that wastes is a brother to one that won't do nothing. I know the little ones are leaving. I see that too, just like you said. One by one, they're leaving. You know why? They're disgusted. They're disgusted. They feel like, well, if we ain't going to do nothing, I just go to sleep. Got good sense. That's good reason. But if I ain't going to do nothing, let's just go to sleep. I need to stay away. But I love my little ones. They're very precious. Brother Pike hasn't forgotten. Let's sing the chorus, I love him. And remember, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. The other day, my son Rick, over the phone from Hawaii, said, Dad, I love you. I love you. I said, do you? He said, you know I love you, Dad. I said, do you? Jesus said, do you, Peter? He said, Dad, I love you. I said, the Bible said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. to say that you love me and you won't help me, won't work with me, won't share with me, won't keep the commandments that I give to you. You don't love me. Folks, you don't love me. To sit and resent me and find fault with me in your mind, you don't love me. I got a man out there we've worked with for years. I've worked with him for years. But he'll resent me. He can't help but resent me. And he thinks I don't know nothing about it. He's of the opinion that I don't know a thing about it. And I don't openly say anything to him. I have, even to the point of tears. But I try not to. His wife is the same way. But you know what it's caused from? The people don't pray. They don't have no prayer life. They don't have prayer life. People that have prayer lives don't have that kind of attitude. They don't have no prayer lives. When you get a prayer life, it won't be like that. Some of you are just now learning to pray from the chain prayer that I gave you. And some of you are not praying then. You're missing it. And some of you, when you get down to pray, you're not praying then. You're not really praying. I got a man right here. I told my wife. She remembers this a day or two ago. No, I beg your pardon. I have told her. But I was talking to somebody else. I said, the man's, something fixing to happen to him if he don't watch out. He's making money, getting along real good, but he's got a haughty spirit, he's got a hard spirit. He ain't the same tender man he one time was. Money's done something to him. He's lost his vision for spiritual things. I got people here like that. When God gives you natural things, you get so hungry for dollars and money and relatives, so you forget the brethren. You don't have any interest in listening or talking about God or having anything spiritual or anything. And the first news you know, if you don't watch out, it'll be all over for you. Okay, let's sing this chorus. You're hard in my service. I feel your spirit in rebellion in my service. You rebel against me in my service. I had one man that rebelled against me every time he come in. He paid no attention to what I was saying. Rebelled, and all of a sudden a sickness hit him and almost killed him. I mean, it hit his family. Like I got both of them. And I kept warning them, service after service. They were the people that I kept warning. And they wouldn't listen at me. I've had people here that practice filth. I had two people here that I kept talking to them and talking to them. And nobody didn't know nothing about it, but the woman was active with other men and he was active with other women. One day I went face to face with them. He broke down and begged off and said they'd do right. I had a woman here the last few months. I kept telling her over and over, I said, you better quit your filth. You better quit your foolishness. It's going to catch up with you. She thought it wouldn't, but it did. Now everybody knows it. I had another one that's connected. It's sad. I had a boy to come in here, a black boy. I went to him and I told him, I said, you're doing such and such and such. And I said, there ain't no need to tell me you ain't. I said, because I didn't come to ask you, I come to tell you. And I said, another thing, I said, the only reason that I'm even saying what I am to you is to see whether you'll lie about it. I said, because I know you're guilty. And he confessed it's true. But that same boy told me, he said, Brother Pike, he told me in essence that I can't rest. He said, from the time I come here, he said, these women have been calling me constantly. And I told him what happened between the women and him. He said, they wouldn't let me rest. He said, they're the ones that called me. They're the ones that aggravated me. And you come right here to my sanctuary. You know what it is? It's because you're wretched. Jesus said, wretched. Evil. That's why you do it. Spots and blemishes in the feast of charity of the righteous. Wells without water. And the Bible said stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Speaking great swelling words, you have men's person in admiration because of advantage. Raging waves foaming out your own shame. Let's sing this together. I love him, I love him, all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You know, many people hear our voice. This is not just to the audience here. Many people hear our voice, of religious people and other kind of people, people around the world. And they're just exactly as I preach tonight or talk to you tonight about this thing, or the way I talked to you about it, or the way I exhorted you tonight. They're just in that kind of condition. Hypocrites, evil, wretched, naked, blind, as religious as Cain, mind on money and advantage, all around the world are such. I said this the other day, I appreciate it. Brother Taylor said, Brother Pike said, I don't remember the terms he used, but he said, I'm weary. Said, I'm tired of junk. I'm tired of junk. He said, junk, that's all it is. Shiny junk, whatever kind, said, it's still junk. He said he wanted God. You can have the junk. You can give your soul, like Esau, for a morsel of bread. And you can keep on wanting money and feeling your importance until you get to where you are literally blind to godly things, and to where you don't have no desire for godly things. They won't even create an interest in you. And then all of a sudden God will withdraw, and there you'll be with your junk. You'll have your junk. At last you'll have your junk. And you're talking about something that will haunt you. The Bible said you'll throw your money to the bats, and you'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on you, to hide you from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. There's a woman right now in a dying condition, and I've been praying that God will pull her through. I'm asking God to pull her through. I trust that he will, though it looks like her death, but I'm hoping that he'll pull her through. But she has caused me more trouble, she has said, in my congregation, and grieved me. She must have done it hundreds of times. And I'd plead with her and ask her and beg her, pray for her, fast, do everything I could. Rebuke. She still would do it. And she apparently has shortened her days by her disobedience, because she's just been hanging on for many months, barely making it through. And is on the verge of dying right now. Don't be like that, folks. Don't be like that. Let's sing this one more time. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Say it again now. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I said a while ago there'd been a number of wrecks, two that I knew of, maybe more. I said that because I remember more somewhere. As a matter of fact, I know there was more. You can think of three in the last little bit since I said that. My daughter was one of them, Gracie. I told my wife, I said, I had a vision. I said, watch Gracie. I said, it could be a wreck because of the thing that I saw. She called Gracie up and told her. In just a little bit, Gracie coming up, turned in front of a car, and a woman speeding hit her and totaled her car out. Could have killed her. had been talking to Cynthia, and I believe Suzanne was in the car, wasn't she? Number of you here, you've had bad wrecks, and you barely come out with your lives. Folks, this is the time for it, during the Christmas season. Brother Branham got killed about this time. It's a bad time. I could get killed because I'm on the road. You could get killed. I could leave tomorrow and you could hear of my death in a few days. Or hear of it tomorrow. Or I might go on the way I've gone for many years. I've had all kinds of problems. Numbers of wrecks. God's delivered me out of them all. You may leave tomorrow. You may get killed. As a matter of fact, Brother Gary Jones, I believe, is leaving tomorrow to go to Texas. Isn't that right, Gary? He's going down to Texas. He needs our prayers. He requested them tonight. Gary's going down to Waco, Texas. I've got a daughter, Susie. Her and Dale's leaving when? About a week from now. They're coming up from Texas. I told Betty, I said, caution them, tell them to be careful. Brother Mike, he left and drove out to Tucson. He's on the road to and fro right now. Your loved ones are going to be on the road. Some of you are going to go home visiting. Some of you are going to go to the Carolinas and wherever. During Christmas, you're going to do it. And though I tell you this, you're not wise to do it. You're not wise at all. It's one of the most unwise things you've ever done is to visit relatives during Christmas time. But people that will literally hate each other on Christmas wants to send Christmas cards to one another. Silly. Foolish. Buy a bunch of junk and let people starve to death. The hardest time that the ministry has usually is Christmas time. Because people will take everything and spend it on junk. I don't care what you say to them, they'll still do it. They'll do it. It's not wise. A statement was said the other day concerning a family. Said, you know, said, I wish the family could get together at least once or twice out of the year. And they mentioned Christmas. I made a statement to my wife like this. I said, as far as our family, if that's the only feelings that my children have for me, that they just want to get with me with a bunch of junk during Christmas time, they can have it. I don't want them nor the Christmas junk at Christmas time. I don't. If you love somebody, you go to see them once in a while. You visit with them once in a while. You love them or you talk to them or you help them. Going to see them don't always have to do with loving them anyway. And if you just got to get together once a year to have your junk, you know, together. And that's what it is. Folks, anytime you take stuff away from starving children, you ain't got nothing but junk. To you that are really sharing from the bottom of your heart, and I mean sharing until it hurts, and may you have, I won't say a Merry Christmas, as they say, but may you have a blessed Christmas and a godly Christmas as to the meaning of it, as to whatever it would be, and that you esteem one day above another. I esteem every day alive. But may you have a wonderful, blessed Christmas to the extent of safety and plenty to eat and little things for your children that will thrill their hearts. My son came and gave money to the poor, to the offerings. He gave it, he didn't have it, he took it and gave it anyway. And he sat and told me last night, he said, I'm astounded. He said, God has worked a miraculous thing and said, I haven't gotten anything for my children, hardly anything. And he said, they've got so much until it's unreal. It'd be hard for me to believe it. That shows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, day, and forever. He did it for me, doing it for my son. I want you to come down to the altar tonight. I want you to think this thing over. It's Christmas season, it's dangerous. Brother Pike is not scolding you. I'm not rebuking you. I'm exhorting you. I'm telling you that it's time to get rid of the foolishness and stop what you're doing because you're going to kill yourself or kill your loved ones in doing it. It would be better, folks, if you had stayed away from God. Stayed away from God. Stayed away from God's house. Went on out there with the world and enjoyed sin for a season. It would have been far better than to have taken the attitude and the kind of spirit that some of you have taken. You might say, Brother Pike, I'm not a mean person, and I agree that many of you are not. You're very precious. But some of you are just as carnal as you can be. Your mind is never on spiritual things. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. You're just as carnal as you can be. Your mind is so carnal. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't. He said, and seeing that some of you are just plain carnal, I can't do it. But you never think about spiritual things, holy things and godly things. Always you're natural minded, carnally minded, hard, callous from the things of the world, the natural things. Never submissive, submitting yourself one to another. Never submissive. Never honorable to the brotherhood in the sense of submission. Some of our boys is going to get in bad trouble. I'm concerned about mine as well as yours. I've been talking to them lately. But I see my boys, they take off. They don't come to the altar. I see Brother Jerry Lambert's boy. He take off. He won't come to the altar. A lot of times I see Brother Jimmy's boy do the same thing. Brother Darrell's boys. And I see the others, numbers of them, your boys, Brother Mitch's boys. I see numbers of them doing the day. I see them when they're not doing right and they're not concerned. I see Brother John Jameson's boys. I notice that even Brother John Jameson's boys is getting hard. That's something I never saw in John's boys for a long time. But Brother Taylor told me, he said, I'm astounded at them. It's coming over them now. Every one of them. It came over Brother Gary's boys. Seemed like just as soon as they hit a certain age, it comes over them. And I see the girls. I see my little girls here, 12 and 13 years old, 14 years old. I see the rebellion getting in them. And that old mean, contrary thing, or I'm going to leave home, sassing back to mom and daddy, don't want to listen. And folks, some of you ain't reaped it yet. You're popping the whip and you think you can handle them. But let me tell you something. You better believe you won't never handle a girl. You'll do better handling a boy than you'll handle a girl. When you got girls, you got trouble like you never dreamed of. I talked to a man in Florida that had raised girls, and he come to the church bitter. He said, I'll never raise another girl as long as I live. But I tell you something, folks. If you'll seek God, God will help you with them. It's going to take God to help you with them girls. It's going to take God to help you with them boys. Them boys get hard, they get sassy. They feel like they're grown up. They don't want to honor God. They want to be contrary. But I'm saying this to my boys tonight because something's going to happen to some of these boys. They're smoking and going on and doing the things that they're doing. I guarantee you they're hard and they're bitter and they're callous and some of them's doing dope. And something's going to happen to them. It's just like Brother Johnny Ross. He went up here to this house up here where some of the black people have a house back up there. And he went up to that house and he found beds. And he found where they're smoking dope, whatever. And one of them came in while he was there and said he'd been doing that for years going up there. Whereas I know it. I remember when some of the rest of them went up there. Some of them's dead that went up there. As far as I know, some of them that went up there is dead. But I'm praying. I'm praying, folks. I'm praying God will move you off the campground. I'm praying. I'm praying that if you don't do something to them children, that God will move you as a family. If you don't want to whip them, that's your business. I'm praying. I'm praying that God will move you off the campground. If you don't want to whip your children and correct your children, work with us, I'm praying that God will move you off the campground. And just take you and your child on. Because if you want to let your child do that, that's your business. But I'm praying that God will move you off. It's not fair to us to stay here knowing that you're that kind of person and you ain't going to make no effort to abide by these rules. You're going to get your child killed. It's better you get on off the campground if you ain't going to make no effort. I understand people that live here that have children, that they're raising their children up. I understand. And I know you got to work with them. And I know you got a problem. And Brother Pike gives and takes. Because I got the same problem with mine. But others that's left home and done gone from home and then you bring them back in here and you just let them stay around here when you know that they're living like the devil and causing me trouble, don't you know you're going to get them killed or you're going to get in bad trouble and lose your soul? Don't you know that you bid Godspeed, you're partakers of it? And if you allow that, then that means that's the kind of person you are. Because two can't walk together unless they be agreed. Even if it's your child. I'm done learned through the years. I can't walk with my own sons when they're not doing right. I can't do it. I've done tried it. But if you do your best and you work with them and you try to help them and you whip them and you correct them and then if they don't do right, then you can't help them. because you're doing all that you can do. And I'll bear with you and God will bear with you. But you need to do something. Some of those that's getting together doing those things is going to bring a bad day. Some of the little girls, little ladies, you need to listen at me. You're getting bad, you're getting hard, you're getting careless. You're getting calloused and unconcerned. And though you're just as fine a little ladies as you can be, some of the finest. Brother Pike appreciates you from the bottom of his heart. My little boys, I feel the same way about you. But you can't do the things you're doing. You can't talk the way you're talking. You can't say the things that you're saying. You can't think the evil things that you're letting go through your mind and not fighting against it. You can't do that. You can't undermine the kingdom of God and the things of God and little Bethlehem and all that we stand for here. My wife, I've seen her in tears. She's even got upset. I've had to rebuke her. She said, if you brethren ain't going to do nothing and you're going to let the filth and corruption come on the campground and go down there and counsel and never do nothing about it, she said, I'll do something about it myself. And I've had to reprove her. But I heard the Lord speak to me the other day. She said, I'm doing something about it. She said, it's going off of this campground. And I mean it's going off. She said, we've given our lives and tried to establish something here. And I think she reproved some of the sisters from what I understand. But I started saying something to her, and I heard something say, didn't I prepare the heart of Abraham's wife, Sarah, when that bond's child kept mocking and doing the things that he was doing? Didn't I prepare her heart for her to rise up and say that that child will not be heir with my child and not get the benefits that my child is getting? Didn't I do it? And I thought, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? Folks, if we don't do something, the ladies is going to rise up. Even they know better than what's going on. I think it's time that we all done a little something about it. And if we got women here that ain't going to be nothing but troublemakers, and they ain't going to be nothing but troublemakers, just continually troublemakers, then you ladies get together and you get that person of those people right in the midst of you and say, look, now we intend to straighten this thing out. We're tired of this foolishness. You're not going to play around with our husbands. And you're not going to play around with our sons. And you men get the other men right in your midst and say, let me tell you, gentlemen, you're not going to play around with our wives. And you're not going to play around with our daughters. We mean business. And the Bible said, purge out the old leaven and be a new lump. And get rid of the old leaven. For a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And God said to spare the spirit so that the spirit that's in your midst won't be taken away from you. Turn such a one over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh that God might save the spirit. I'd like for the spirit of God in the midst of Bethlehem to remain here, folks. I want it to stay here. I don't want it to leave. I appreciate what a sister said. She's having a problem with her family. Sister Betty said something to her. Something had to be done. I understand she told Betty, she said, Betty, she said, if I lose this, my life ain't worth living. It ain't no more good. I ain't got nothing. So this is all I got. And said, they ain't going to cause me to lose my place on the campground. Now to me, that's the way to be. Love the Savior. Love your people. Do good. Don't kick your children around or kick them out. But be straightforward with them and let them know that they're not going to let a devil come in and cause you to lose your soul and lose your fellowship with the brethren. Because brethren, it is a true fact that we absolutely must, of necessity, withdraw ourselves from every brother and sister that walks disorderly. We've got to do it. God commands us to do it. Because if we don't do it, they'll corrupt us. Evil communications will corrupt good manners, and they'll corrupt us, and they'll corrupt everybody else. Let's purge out the old leaven. And let's be a new lump. And let's come together to love the Lord. Brother Pike's not rebuking you tonight. I wasn't rebuking you. I only called names when I called them. To let you know that I wasn't picking on no certain person. That everyone was the same. I'll let you know that. I called your name for this reason. To let all of you hear enough names to know that God is no respect to person. That what he'll do to one, he'll do to another. So tonight, while you're talking on the Lord, talking to the Lord and calling on the Lord, you ask the Lord to help you tonight. You ask the Lord to forgive you. and you get down to business and you get that son and you get that daughter and you have a talk with them and you tell them right then and there that things has got to be right. Things has got to be right. So I'm telling you, as I go to close tonight, I want you to think this over. I've got some young boys, some young men, that the Lord's already let me know that if they don't do right, He's going to kill them. I mean, you could take it for what it's worth. I have said this a number of times here at this sanctuary. It came to pass. Right up to my left in that balcony right there. I said it to at least two, maybe three different people. Right there in the middle of the balcony they stood. And they're dead. They're dead. They're gone. Young men. Fine looking young men. Fine specimens of men that could have been great men. Had beautiful personalities. But they wouldn't listen. I had one right down here, as you very well know. Right here in front of me, standing here. Put my arms around him. The tears in his eyes. And I said, I love you, son. Don't do that. Don't do that. I love you. And I'm praying for you. But the Lord showed me that He was going to get him. And God got him. He walked out. He was killed. And when they come and told me about his death, I was down on my knees praying. Praying for the brethren. Praying for the little ones. Praying for you and your loved ones. And they come in and they broke into my prayer. And said, he's dead. He was killed just a little ago. I told one the other day, I said, God is fixing to send you to prison for years. Or he'll kill you. I said, he's going to do one of the two. And I'm trusting that it'll be prison, though I hate to see that. I'd rather take a beating. I actually tonight would be willing to take a beating with a whip. I would, so help me God, if God would give me grace to keep the boy out of prison or to keep my boys here at Bethlehem out of prison. But they ain't going to listen. The rod is for the fool's back, the bit bridle for the horse's mouth. I said, you can't control them no other way. I told him, and I hope that it's prison rather than death for the parents' sake, because I know the heartaches and sorrows. Some of you are literally going through nightmares, folks. I mean, you're going through nightmares with your children and with your loved ones because you won't listen and won't pay any attention. You're going through it in your bodies. You're literally going through nightmares. I mean, you'd be better off dead than living because of the misery and the sorrow. There's some of the women here and men, both alike, that they are so miserable till they would be better off dead. I remember a man, he told me just before he died, he looked up at me. He said, I feel so bad that I can't hardly live. He said, I feel so bad. And it wasn't long, he was dead. And some of you are going through some bad things. I hope that you will listen to me. I hope that you will. I hope that you listen to me. It's unusual. I was going to call my little ones up, have them sing. I usually don't ever bypass them. But there's some reason tonight. Some reason. Some reason. I tell you what I believe it is. Here's as of late, it has shown the children going into Canaan and going over the Jordan. It has shown it. And it's shown the elders dying in the wilderness. And that's why I said tonight, I believe your nest is empty. I believe you put your business before God, your desire before God. And even though some of you are leveling off and you decide you're going to try to do something on the side for God, but I told you he wouldn't do that. You can't put God second. You make your business second. You do his desire first. And this I want to say, and it needs to get back to some of the other brethren. If you don't come to men's meeting at least a couple of times out of the month, your children's going to be taken out of school. It's the rule. I've got some of them that won't do it. They've been out for numbers of weeks now. To live on this campground, if you don't have any children, you are required to come at least twice to the men's meeting. And there's some of them that don't do it. And they still go on. They still go on. And they've got all kind of excuses why they can't come. And it's unbelievable the excuses that they offer. And they say, I can't come. While others are as bad or worse so far as their conditions or their circumstances. And they still come. They still come. Don't you know that I know and that God knows that you can come and there is no excuse? It's not that you can't come, it's that you don't have any desire to come. You don't have any desire to live right. Like I told the boy the other day, I said, you're wicked. I want to repeat this. I said, you're wicked. I said, I've never talked to you like this. I've always tried to be kind and gentle to you. I said, but God reveals to me that you're not like you was. I said, when you was coming up, trying to develop, I was tender to you and God was tender, though I knew you was doing wretched things. But I said, you're grown. I asked him his age. He told me, over 20 years old. I said, you're wicked. I said, that's what you are. You're wicked. And I said, you don't care for the preacher and you don't care for your wife. I said, and you don't care for your mother. I said, and you don't care for the church and you don't care for God and you don't care for nobody except yourself. I said, just for yourself, that's all you care. I said, because you're wicked. And that's the way some of you are. That's the way some of you are. Now I'm going to say this and try to close. You say, wicked? The Bible said, let the wicked forsake his ways. When you have wrongdoings, you are wicked. When you have wrong thoughts, you're unrighteous. The Bible said, let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. When you have wrong thoughts, you're unrighteous. You're not right with God when you have wrong thoughts. But friend, when you have wrongdoings, he said, you are wicked. I told somebody recently, I said, to think that I'd help you and give you money and do what I've done for you, and then you would undermine me and go to my own boys to take the little ones and whatever, as we see here, and try to corrupt my little fellows here at Bethlehem after I've tried to save your life. Save the hides of them many times from the whip of God. And then to think that you would undermine me with dope. And to think that mothers here, knowing that their sons are doing this on the campground, that they say, my love for my boy. My love for my boy. You couldn't be more wretched. You're more wretched than he is. At least he's caught in the bind of it. You're letting self-pity and sympathy and personal love and self-desire keep you from standing for God. You know that you are wretched when you do that. And you're guilty of poisoning these little ones with dope. I told my own sons, I said, let me tell you something. I said, if I catch you with dope, I said, I'm going to make sure that I do something about it. I said, you better be sure of it. I said, because I don't think you can stoop no lower. So far as that kind of thing, I don't believe you can stoop no lower than to come and give the little ones dope. And I've met some of your children too. You may not know it, but I've met them. And I've told them, because they've been given dope. You might not know about it. Some of you do know about it. That's the part that's so bad. And you keep telling yourself, well, the Lord understands. I got to help him. I got to help him. When you know you ain't helping him. To the contrary, he's causing you to become wretched and be partakers of his wrong. He's causing you to be an accessory after the fact. While you're kneeling, I want to pray with you. I want to ask God. I want to ask God to help you, and not only you, but me. And I want to ask God to help your children. And I want to ask God to help my children. I told my own sister, she's sitting here tonight, I told her in the presence of all of you not too long ago and told her family, I said, for God's sake, I said, do something. The Lord has shown me that judgment's fixing to strike that family. And it's been one heartache right after another, even to death. And don't you know that if God would do that to my own sister and her family, that he'd do it to your family? Don't you know he would? I'm telling you tonight, just like I told them. And I thank God tonight for the man called Richard that's here tonight. He is helping in a family, part of my family. He's helping to turn their hearts to God because he wants to do something for God. And though he's just a babe in Christ, he's affecting their lives and causing them to realize how mean and cruel and wretched they've been and how unconcerned they've been about the things of God and the way that they've reproached the things of God. And he's causing them to think and realize that tonight. And he's turning his heart, and some of them are turning around. And I trust to God that they'll be saved. I feel like it's an answer to my prayer. I trust that they'll be saved by turning around. And let me tell you this, folks, and I am going to close. I told my own son David and others, I said, keep your mind on your business second. Keep your mind on God. I said, whatever you do, keep your mind on God. I said, you need to keep your mind on God. While you're there, while your hearts are humble and your spirits are submissive, listen to me now. When we dismiss, don't go back and get an old hard spirit, a contrary spirit, a spirit against the preacher, thoughts against the preacher. You're going to need the preacher. Remember that. I need you, but I don't have to have you if you're going to do wicked. And you need me, but you don't have to have me if I'm going to do wicked. But if I'm going to do right, then you're going to need me, folks, as your minister. You're going to need me. If you don't want to go with me, go somewhere and get you a shepherd, because you're going to have one. He's set there for the perfecting of your faith. And it's by faith that you're saved. It's through the faith of Christ that you're saved. So whatever you do, you get a preacher. Don't let nobody tell you that you can stay home and not go to church and go to heaven. I'm a preacher. And preachers can't do that. When a preacher tells you that, you tell him he's a lie. He can't do it. You go to heaven by faith in the Word. And the Word said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. The early church, they had it in their home. Well, we can stay on the campground, Brother Pike, and have it in our home. You can't on this campground, because we got a church right here. And we're not going to have two or three churches here, folks. I say that in love. I've told some of the brethren here, if any of the people start meeting at their home to have church on the campground or wherever, they're automatically disfellowshipped with this church. That's walking disorderly. And unless they have the brotherhood's agreement and the pastor's agreement, then they need to go somewhere. They say, well, God told me to do it. Don't lie against the truth. God's not the altar of confusion. That's confusion. And the Bible said, where that's at, there's every evil work. God don't work contrary to his work and his ministers. His house would be divided. It would fall. That's something that you're doing on your own. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your darling child Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins. Look down upon me. Forgive my sins. I ask you tonight, O Lord, to forgive these people's sins. And I'm reminded again of your word that whosoever sins you forgive or remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. I'm reminded to rebuke openly, Father, that others might see and fear, and that open rebuke is better than secret love. And to rebuke a wise man, that afterwards you'll find more favor from him than if you flatter him. I trust that these are wise people. For if I rebuke a fool, I'll get myself a blot. For Lord, they'll gossip and talk on the job, and they'll talk at the tables. And they'll talk behind my back, and they won't cease to cut me up. Lord, and to chop me up in the eyes of their children, to where I won't have any strength to help them. But God, they're fools, and you know that they're fools. But I've got wise men here, Lord, that won't do that. That will pray and become more wiser and love even the more than they ever have. So I ask you to help me be wise. When I'm reproved of thee, Lord, let me not become bitter. But when I'm reproved of the Lord and chastened, let me repent. Let me be zealous and repent. And, oh God, as you correct me as I correct the people, may I be submissive and may the people be submissive. For, Lord, if I am to have eternal life, then I must say, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. So I ask in the name of Jesus, as to Your pleasure, might it be. Let it be according to Your pleasure. Oh God, bless these people and heal these people. Help these people and forgive these people. And take this exhortation here tonight, precious Savior, and help them to realize that this is a great moment with Christmas coming up, that judgment has begun at the house of God. And oh God, as I told the brethren, that having begun at the house of God, Father, that You would clear the slate of all the saints and make them pull up close, so that when You begin to put the others to the test, Lord, that they wouldn't be able to stand the test. Them that are without, oh God, they won't be able to stand the test. And when You pull them to the line, and when the papers, the news medias pull them to the line, they're going to be guilty. And Father, You're going to rend them and You're going to plow their fields. But dear God, You've caused the church for many months now to undergo persecution of news medias and criticism to make them draw in close and to check up so that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. That when You begin to bring the judgment, that those that are doing it cannot touch the children that they'll be sealed in. And I ask You to do it now, Father, as You strike, Lord, at the great oil companies, as You strike at the ball games, as You strike at the Senate, Lord, and You strike at the different societies of the world. I ask You to be with us. Deliver us from sin. Deliver the people. Help their children. Deliver them from jail. Deliver them from the electric chair. Deliver them from death. Deliver them from wrecks. Deliver them from sicknesses and diseases. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon Bethlehem. For God's sake, be with us and help us. Spare us in Jesus' lovely name, I pray. If our ways please You, You said You'd rebuke the devourer for our sake. He wouldn't destroy the fruits of our ground. And Lord, He wouldn't hurt us. And You'd make our enemies to be at peace with us. So Father, let us please You. Let our ways please You. Let our minds be on God, for we know not the moment that You'll call us. In Jesus' name, let us be prepared. We may not have time to get prepared, Father, when You call. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. I want you to stand with me, folks. I give you just a little time tonight on your knees. This should not be new to you. It shouldn't be new to you, because we've given you a chain prayer, and I'm sure that by now that numbers of you are used to praying. If you wasn't used to praying before, that you're used to praying. And so this shouldn't be new to you. Glad to see little Bill come down here to the altar tonight, because I've been disturbed. Was praying about little Bill last night. I believe it wasn't. I've been disturbed about little Bill because I saw what Satan was fixing to do to him. So whatever you do, you think about that. You think about that. These boys need prayer. These girls need prayer. And you think about yourself too. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at Your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, But in Jesus, I am safe evermore. You know, you need to get a vision. I was thinking of something tonight. I'd asked Brother Morris and Brother Philip to do something for me that would have took quite a bit of work. I said, "Brethren, I'll pay you." And they said, "No, won't be like that, Brother Pike." And I didn't feel like I ought to do it, but I was going to do it to go the extra mile of the way. But the person said, "I don't think you ought to." Said, "For me, I won't let you do it." Said, "I think that's going too far." Said, "I think you've gone far enough." And tonight as I came by, I told Philip, now I said, "Just counsel out on it, Philip." And I came by tonight and I started up here. Philip was standing out directing traffic. And Philip always meets me with a good spirit and I come through there. He started talking to me and I said, "Philip," I said, "the man counseled out." I said, he won't do it. I said, "Well, I really appreciate it. Because see, they'll get just as much reward as if they'd done it." Same thing. Praise God. Brother Philip said to me, he said, "Brother Pike," said, "we meant to do it." Said, "we were going to do it." And I could tell just as good the way he said that, he meant that they actually had the mind that they were going to do it. There was no question about it. They wasn't trying to get around it. They were going to do it. It just made me feel so good the way he said it when I caught his spirit. Because it wasn't just words. Sometimes I hear people say that and they don't mean it at all. But it was something about his spirit that really meant that. And I thought, well, praise God for that kind of spirit. They really meant to do it. So they'll get a reward. And their reward will be just as great as if they'd done it. They'll get the same reward. Won't be any difference. So then if you try to do and you can't do, if you really want to do and you can't do, you really try to do and you can't do, you'll get the same reward. Don't worry about it. You get the same reward. But be sure that you're not just, you know, saying that. That's not hypocrisy. That you really mean to do it. When you say, "Hey, brother, I'll help you," you be sure that you're ready to get the hammer and the nails or the needle and the threads or whatever it takes. See, because God may call you to do the job. Okay, I want to sing this little song again. "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." Let's sing this and we're going to be dismissed. I want to tell you again, I love you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to scold you. But I'm telling you, you know, in the world they say, "Tell me like it is." If I was dying tonight of some kind of disease and I was in the hospital, I wouldn't want no doctor to play no game with me. I wouldn't want him to come and say, "Well, I think it's going to be all right." I want him to say, "Look, unless God works a miracle, you're gone." Because that's the way I'd want it. I'd want it. Many a time a doctor, a nurse said, "Oh, just don't worry about it." When they knew that the patient was going to die. And they let that person die in sin when they might have called on God. Okay, let's sing this together. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. You know, folks, you ought to be grateful tonight. I was talking to my wife today about a certain brother The brother's spending tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I said, Betty, just think. I said, the brother says he's doing this because he's going to have a lot of people to feed. Not doing it for myself, he said, but I'm doing it for others, which I admire. I said, well, he probably won't ever have them folks. But I agree with him. He'll have them because the Bible said when goods are increased, they that eat them, they increase. And the more he increases his goods, the more he's going to have to eat them. But so far as having the flock of God, the people of God, to go to him, that isn't God's way. And I thought, Lord, they're wasting their life. He's actually wasting the life of those people. And he thinks he's doing a great thing for God. Thinks he's doing God a service. But brethren, you're not that way. I've taught you to go after the spiritual things, not the natural. Even though I do admire something that the man said to me. He said, my people work so hard, Brother Pike. He said, they don't just work 8 hours. He said, they work 10 and 12 hours. And he said, they work so hard without any pay. They just get to live, and that's all, just a place to live. Something to eat as they raise it. But said, they work so long and so hard, said, I have to stop them. I actually have to stop them. I don't want people like that because I don't want that kind of labor. But I told some of them today, two or three of them among us show could be inspirational to some of our people. Having a mind to work, they built the walls back. And if I had just two or three men around like that, that was... Or two or three women that had that kind of mind to work, my lands, they might set Bethlehem on fire for God. When I started Bethlehem, we had people like that. They had a mind to work. I mean, they didn't care about the world. They didn't want the junk, shiny junk or whatever, as Brother Taylor said. They wanted God and they wanted the birthright. And they didn't want to be Esau. They didn't want to sell out for a morsel of bread. They meant to get the job done for God. So tonight, let's sing that little chorus again, and let's be thankful tonight that our eyes are open, and let's go tell the world. Let's go tell the world. Tell it on the mountains. Tell them that Jesus lives, and Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Let's sing this again. Swing low, sweet chariot, you're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? They're coming to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. One more time. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. You know, I spoke of a young person that was really having some trouble the other night. Spoke about them, and they took that to heart. They knew who they were, and they took that to heart. And I noticed that they're winning out, beginning to battle and beginning to win out. You know, you can't be... You can't avoid the people of God and avoid the minister and win out. You can't do it. You can't take fire to your bosom without getting burned. There's a brother standing here. He wanted to enter into a marriage, and he came to me to counsel. And I told him, I said, sure, if that's what you want. I said, but remember, you're going to have problems. I said, and it can result in a heartbreaking. I said, remember, I told you. And it did. He had problems and it broke his heart. You know, the word of God don't fail, folks. It's real. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight.
I'm going to ask Clyde to come up, if you will, dismiss us.
Clyde's been helping me some the last little bit. He's been out there in the last day or two, and he's been working, trying to help us get the foundation cleared away back of the multipurpose building. Brother Atlee would have had it. Brother Atlee, he's slow, but I'll guarantee he'll get the job done over a period of time because he'll keep on at it. Some of us are fast. We run out there and work a few hours, and it's months before we get back. Brother Atlee's kind of like the old turtle. He'll get there. He'll get there. Give him enough time, he'll get there. And he couldn't get this done. He got a number of things done while he was here. And Brother Clyde decided that he just kind of fill in. Another brother looks like he's losing his crown because I felt he was supposed to do it. One, I believe, has already lost his crown over it because he didn't do it. And then another one I felt supposed to do it. He didn't do it. And this other brother, he come and volunteered because I ain't bothering nobody. He come and volunteered. And he said, I'll do it. So Brother Clyde's out there trying to get it done. Looked like he's making pretty good progress. He said, I don't know what to do, Brother Pike, but said, I'll try. God will teach him. God will show him. Brother Jim has, as always, said, Brother Pike, when the foundation's dug, said, I'm ready to stand with you on it. And which he's done many times. So you pray and you ask God if he won't let you come out there and give a helping hand and help Brother Clyde and help some of them. Tomorrow's Saturday, am I right? Tomorrow's Saturday. You that are so busy doing nothing, why don't you come over and help us do something? Quit wasting your life. You're going to come up at the end of the trail and find out that your whole life is marked void. It's marked void. So come out tomorrow and give a helping hand. Get back over here. Get your mind on God. You know, I got away for a few days. I stayed gone a few weeks trying to work on the boat. Man, y'all just left me. I come back and everybody's gone to his own house. Let the house of God lay waste. When you do that, you lose your vision. I don't just have these things done just to be doing things. I don't create burdens grievous for you to be, you know, you to bear and me not to touch him with a finger. I want to help too. But the thing is, I'm not going to ask you to do it. You know, if it's a burden to you and it's grievous to be born, don't bother with it because I'm not asking you to do it. But there's some that want to be out here. There's some that want to help. And there's some that wants to take a load for Christ and do a little something along. And I'm not asking you to do much, to get under burden, be burdened down. I'm not asking you ladies to do that. But I do believe that there's a number of you ladies that if you'd come and help me some and work a little bit for God, do a little typing. Some of you can type. Do a little typing or a little folding or something. There's numbers of things that I know you can do. I believe you'd be better wives and you'd be better mothers. And I believe you'd be better Christians and better sisters. I believe that. And you men, I believe you'd be the same thing. I think you'd get away from some of your hardness, some of your worldliness, some of your desire and gullibleness for money. And I believe you'd have some tender, sweet, understanding, submissive spirits. Because I know when you come around, the brethren's going to reprove you and they're going to rebuke you. And it's going to be good for you. And brethren, as I've often said, if you can't fit the bridle, you won't ever pull the king's chair. If you can't come in the harness, if you can't get in the harness, you won't never pull the king's chair. So you need to get together. You need to get together. All right, while you've got your heads bowed, if you will, Brother Clyde's going to come and pray. When he comes and prays tonight, I want you to take the prayer to heart. Seriously, pray. Pray for Brother Clyde because I think he's going down to visit with some of his relatives. And I feel like God's in it. Because his relatives are following a symbolic thing and he came and talked with me about it. Clyde said, I'm ready to stay here. I don't care nothing about going. And he tells them that way over the phone too. He don't try to hurt their feeling. But he lets them know that his family is the family of God. Him and his wife had to give up their home and give up everything to try to follow God. I'm sure that he ain't going to let nothing else stand his way after he'd done that with his little family. So, whatever you do, when he comes to pray tonight, you pray for him. Pray for our brother Gary. Brother Gary really tries to help me. I love Gary. Him and his wife moved over here, little family moved over here, and they're so very dear to us. They want to help. And I pray to God that this kind of mind will be in every one of you. It is in some of you, but some of it ain't in. Some of you it ain't in, folks. It just ain't there, that's all. It's like an empty nest. There just ain't going to be nothing hatched off. So you better do something and do something fast. Because when it gets like that means the judgments of God are on his way.